so much for today. Thank you so much for this warm building, this place that we can meet, just this opportunity that we have to set aside our cares, our worries, our concerns of the week, and what we've done and what we're going to do, and just sit in your presence and rest. Lord, we pray today as we sit here, as we participate in this service, we partake of what's happening, that you would speak to us, that you would revive us, that you would re-energize us, that you would get us excited for serving you and what it looks like and what you're calling us to do in our everyday lives. So, Father, we pray your blessing upon our service today. May your Holy Spirit speak, and may we be encouraged. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
To stand with us if you're able. In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Our rest is in heaven, our rest is not here. Then why should we tremble when trials draw near? Be still and remember the worst that can come. But short is our journey and hastens us home. Christ our glory, Christ our hope, Christ our King forevermore. Be still and remember the worst that can come, but short ends our journey and hastens us home. Should be wasted on seeking our joy and placing our hope in what will be destroyed. We look for a city that hands have not raised. We long for a country that sin has not stained. Christ our glory, Christ our hope, Christ our King forevermore. We look for a city that hands have not raised. We long for a country that sin has not saved. Trouble and anguish increase all the more. They cannot compare to the glory in store. Come joy or come sorrow, whatever befalls, the light of the Savior will outshine them all. Christ our glory, Christ our hope, Christ our King forevermore. Christ our glory, Christ our hope, Christ our King forevermore. Savior will outshine them all.
As we cried out to Him, He lifted us to solid ground. to freedom from our sin. Oh, sing my soul and tell all he's done, till the earth and heavens are filled with his glory. Lift high the name of Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. His power, yes, is greater than, is greater than this world. To share the reason for our hope, to serve with love and grace, that all who see and shine through us might bring the Father's praise. Oh, sing my soul. Jesus, our lives. No other name on earth can save, can raise us so to life. He opens up our eyes to see the harvest he has grown. We labor in his fields of grace as he leads sinners home. Oh, sing my soul.
Hallelujah, amen.
to the Lamb upon the throne. Be blessing, honor, glory, power for the battle you have won. Alleluia. With every tribe and every tongue, we join the anthem of the angels in the triumph of the Son. Alleluia. Amen.
The Lamb who was slain, you ascended to heaven and evermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you, and the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling far. And the earth will reply, You shall reign. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. Because the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling by. Earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who is slain for the world, ruling far. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords.
Thank you very much. Maybe.
Well, thank you to the worship team for leading us in those songs. And that last song, again, just a foretelling of something we're going to be able to sing for eternity. To hail the Lamb. He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And we're going to be doing that for all of eternity as brothers and sisters with people from all languages, tongues, tribes, and nations. And it's going to be an amazing experience. So thank you for that, worship team. And welcome to each of you this morning and to our visitors this morning. I extend a special welcome to you. I trust you enjoy your time with us today and come back and spend time with us again at another date. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, it is Thanksgiving week, and as Christians, we have much to be thankful for, and we have much to be thankful for every day of the year, but this week especially, on Thursday, is set aside to commemorate, to think about the things that we're thankful for, the things that we have been blessed with. And as I've been thinking about that the last few days, these different verses have came to my mind in 2 Thessalonians, and I guess one of the things that I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the bride of Christ, the people of God who gather together to lift his name high, to worship him, to encourage the saints, to walk with each other, to carry each other's burdens, and to be the body of Christ. And that's something I'm thankful for. So this morning, I want to read a couple sections of scripture out of 2 Thessalonians. I want to start in verses 3 and 4. And kind of as a, I'm going to read scripture in a way of thanking you guys. As Paul writes to this church in Thessalonica, he writes the opening of this letter in really just giving thanks for who they are, giving thanks for what they've done. And then we're going to move on into a couple other verses later on in this section. But verses 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and all the afflictions that you are enduring." And then skip over to chapter 2, starting at verse 13. It says, But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And that is my prayer for you as a church. That is my thanksgiving testimony for you as a church. It's amazing to see the body of Christ on a weekly basis, come together in different ways to help each other out, to pray for each other, to be there for each other, to carry each other's burdens, to love each other. And really, as Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, they were enduring an amazing amount of persecution. This church was under an intense attack from the state and from the rulers of this area. And really, just as a body of Christ, they were kind of wondering, where's our hope? Where's our hope? What is firm in this world? What can I stand on? And Paul, in verses 13 through 17 of chapter 2, he lays it all out. And I love verse 16, and this is kind of the end to what he says. He says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." And I trust that that is happening for you today, that the God of all strength, that the God that gives eternal comfort and good hope through grace is comforting your hearts and establishing them, building them up each and every day. So my thanksgiving testimony this morning is I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for what you mean to me, what you mean to our family, and what you mean to each other. It is a blessing to serve here at Naumburg, and it's a blessing to be a part of this body. So thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we are thankful for your body. We're thankful for this body at Naumburg. Thank you for the brothers and sisters here who each and every day just find ways to encourage each other, find ways to walk with each other, find ways to build up the body of Christ. And Lord, we know that's not done out of sure desire or sure ability, but it's done out of your Spirit. It's done out of a God who gives all comfort and all peace. So Lord, I lift up our congregation to you this morning. Thank you so much for the ways that you're working, the things that you're doing, the people that you're drawing to yourself. And God, we pray that as that continues to happen, that your word, your will, and your presence would go forth from here. So Father, I pray your blessing upon the rest of our service. Lord, there's things that we need to do, there's things that we need to get done, but God, I pray that as we go through all those things, that we would hear your voice first and foremost, that you would speak to us clearly through each and every facet of the things that we do today. God, we want to bring you glory, and we want to bring you praise and honor today, and we want to do that as a body. So we pray your blessing upon this service, your blessing upon this day. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my love in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows on thirsty land. He hideth my Lord in the depths of his love, there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns,
and fills with his fullness
he cries. Sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my hope in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the cleft of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I ride to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. In the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Number 538.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hill. A guilty pair, brought down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly throne and kingdoms fall, when he who here refused to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains fall, God's love so sure shall still endure all measure less. To Adam's race, the saints and angels song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the sky a parchment made, where every thought on earth a quill, and every man a typewriter's dream, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song.
It's been a blur. Things keep going by really quickly. This whole year I felt very overwhelmed, overloaded, and kind of doing a juggling act for every day. And it came about 2 weeks ago. I still didn't know what I wanted to do for special singing. Then I heard a song that moved me to tears a little bit. So I wanted to share that with you this week, but I have a few words to share before that and a scripture to read first as well. Matthew 19:14. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. As adults, we like the idea of that. We like the idea that we should be like children. We like to think that we have the trust of a child. But we also don't like to let go. We like to come to church with our image that we have in this perfected image and come and do a performance a little bit. And I have found myself doing that many times here. And I found that I'm tired of that. That I don't get anything from church when I'm in that state of heart. And that I just come home, moving on to my week, checking off a box. Thank God, though, I've been called to children's worship. It's been a huge blessing for me, because when I got called, I thought, oh, these children need an enthusiastic person to lead them in worship. And so I'd do that every week. I'd be a little over-enthusiastic, and I found that the kids had fun with it. And I found later on that it wasn't really just me leading them in worship, but them leading me as well. And that time has become the most valuable time to me here at church to worship God. So today I want to share a song that we're actually doing this month. Thank you, Stephanie, for choosing it. I find that it's a very special one to me. And I've chosen to do it on unmiked because I don't usually sound too good when I'm doing it. But we'll have the soundtrack going, and I just wanted to thank the kids for what you have done for me for worship. Your hearts are valuable, and your genuine nature is valuable. Keep worshiping the Lord every day.
I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm 111 this morning. Psalm 111, and I did not look through my sermon notes. I've saved almost all of the notes of all of my sermons for the last 25 years, and I think I could count easily in hand the number of sermons I brought from the book of Psalms, probably. So this is something different. This is something new for me this morning. But I really felt this is what the Lord wanted me to share with us as a congregation. And we are going to, in a sense, learn a new song this morning. Is that okay? You like to learn new songs? Maybe don't answer that, okay? But we're going to learn a new song today. And at the end of it, we're not going to sing it literally, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak into it, to sing it in that sense. Because this psalm speaks to thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, the praising of God. That's what it's all about. So I felt the Lord led me to share this message this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 111. There's 10 verses. We're going to go through them. And understand in that the call to give God thanks, the call to praise God, and why. And then when we're finished with those verses, I'm going to share just briefly a thanksgiving, and Pastor Greg shared this morning, Derek shared this morning, some of you others have shared, Denise as well, some thanksgivings for the works that God has done. I'm going to share just something simple for my life. This is not a competition. We don't need to one-up the person before us, but be thinking about the works, the things that God has done in your heart and in your life, maybe this past week or month or year or whatever. And I'm going to give you opportunity to share that this morning, and we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song when we get to the end of it this morning. So if you have your Bibles open, turn to Psalm 111. We're going to go through this verse by verse this morning. And just a few things to share with you as we begin this psalm this morning. The writer of this psalm is unknown. They don't know for sure who wrote this psalm. Okay, and so with that as well, they don't know the exact occasion that this psalm was written. Certainly it was ordained by God, written by God, yes, but who the human author was, they don't know for sure. And what the occasion was, oftentimes the psalms were written, some of them will even say for a certain time or a certain event or after something that happened. This one, scholars are not sure exactly when it was written. It is one of 10 psalms that begin with Alleluia. One of 10 psalms. There are 10 psalms of the 150 that begin with Alleluia. Or praise God for his works is what that means. Hallelujah. Praise God for his works. And the thing that's important for us today is to understand that what is going to be shared in the I mean, the things that we're going to talk about are universally applicable. They apply to all of us. They apply to each and every one of us here today. They'd apply to each and every other person here in Lewis County, in New York State, in the United States, every person around the world. These are applicable to. The things that are going to be shared, the things that we're going to look at, God's works, the things that he has done. And so we can see that, we can understand that. Each and every person can praise the Lord. Well, verse 1, we're going to go through these. I'm going to put the verses up on the screens. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's fine. But verse 1 says this, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Praise the Lord with my whole heart, with undivided attention and all of my affection. The writer is saying, I'm going to give it everything I have. Everything I have. I'm going to worship him with my whole heart, my undivided attention. When I'm worshiping God, that is my focus. That's where I'm at. That's where my mind's at. That's where my heart's at. I'm giving him my undivided attention and all of my affections. And my desire to do that is in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The assembly with others, whenever you gather together with other believers, when you're in the assembly, when you assemble together. And in the congregation, when we gather for worship. I come with that, with my whole heart, my whole mind, everything that I have. Undivided attention is to worship God. It's about God. My attention and my affections. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. The works of the Lord, and it's talking, kind of referencing in this portion of this passage, the works of the Lord, the physical creation, the things that God has created in our physical world are great. You think about creation, you think about all that we understand and all that we don't understand. They're great in number. You think of the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. They're great in magnitude. Great in magnitude. You ever study about the universe? You don't have to get very far away from the earth and our galaxy, and you can't even see us in the vastness of the universe. The magnitude of the works of God, the things that He has created. The greatness of the number, the greatness of the magnitude, the greatness of the wisdom in all of this. Think about how all of this works. And the entire universe, in the microscopic world, and even in the world in which we exist and we see. And in His goodness, in all of that, His goodness. We see God in creation. We see His works. We see Him in that. His power, His magnitude, His wisdom, His goodness. And when you study that, when you look at that, and people do that, they can't help but find God. They can't help but find meaning and purpose and understanding that there has to be a creator. If they study that with open hearts and with open minds, you can't help but study the universe. You can't help but study microscopic life. You can't help but study human life and see that there's a creator. There's a God. When you see that wisdom, that goodness, that magnitude, when you see all the intricacy of that, there has to be a creator. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 talks about that. That we're without excuse. When you truly study with an open mind, you'll find God. You'll see a creator in His work. I want you to think about yourself for just a moment this morning. All human beings begin as a single cell. A single cell. For about 30 minutes after conception. So when you were conceived in your mother's womb, for about 30 minutes after conception, you were one cell, one single cell. And then that began to divide. That's how that works. But for 30 minutes, right after the moment of conception, you were one single cell. Within 60 days, all of your major organs were in place. From that one single cell, within 60 days, all of your major organs were in place. Your heart began beating on about day 22 after conception. 22 days, your heart started beating. Your brain waves were detected or could have been detected by about day 42, 43, somewhere in there. You could detect brain waves that were going on. By 60 days, hearing is starting to happen. 60 days after conception. And by 90 days, your fingerprints were formed. 90 days in your mother's womb. That's God. That is God. How else can that happen? We are wonderfully and marvelously made. When we study the works of the Lord, when you study those things, when you look those up, when you think about those things, God is amazing. He's worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Read about those things. Learn about those things. It will draw you back to God. It will point you to God and the amazing God that we have. His magnitude, his power, his wisdom, his goodness. You see God in all of that. And the writer is saying that. They draw us back to God. Verse 3, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. His work is honorable and glorious. All that God does, all that he does, is honorable and glorious. When you think about creation, when you think about his providence, his plans, the things that he does, when you think about redemption, how he set that into motion, how he made all that come about, all of it is honorable, it is glorious, and how he has it. And his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness, he does things rightly, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't take wrong turns, doesn't say, oh, well, I should have done something different. It's all righteousness, everything that he does, and it will be found in all of his works. And everything that God does, he does righteously. He does it righteously. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 4, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. All of these things, he has made to be remembered. Remembered. The highest and most appropriate exercise of our memory is to retain the lessons which the works of God show us. Let me say that again. The highest and most appropriate exercise of our memory is to retain the lessons which the works of God show us. So when you look at the works of God, you think about the things that God has done in your heart and in your life. You see his creation. We just talked about us as human beings. To remember those things, to think about those things, to put those things in your mind is the highest level, highest form of using your memory for God. Along with understanding his word, realizing his word, the power and the strength of his word. But those things that God shows us, those things that God teaches us, the writer is saying that the most appropriate and the best thing you can do with your memory is to fill it with those things. And I have to wonder, you know, our brains are amazing. You know, like a file cabinet up there. And every year, a couple years, I go through our file cabinets at home and I find all kinds of stuff in there that I thought was important that are really not important, so I just pitch it. And I wonder sometimes when God looks at my mind, my file cabinet up here, if there's a bunch of stuff up there, he just kind of like to pitch. Like, that's really kind of, why are you thinking about that? Why is that up there? You know? But to think about all the things that God has done in my heart and in my life and in the church, all like fill our, the best thing you can do with your memory is fill it with those things. Fill it with those things. The things he has shown you, the things he has taught you. There's no better way to employ our memory than to fill it, to store up the truths of God. Store up the truths of God. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Full of compassion. Verse 5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He supplies our needs. He supplies our needs. He supplies the needs of those who fear him. And he's a covenant-keeping God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is faithful. He is faithful. Verse 6. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And here the writer is speaking specifically to a degree to the Jewish people. He has declared to his people the power of his works. It's a reference to the Jewish people who God made himself known to them by the power of his acts, the power of his works on their behalf, right? And if you think about them as a nation, as the children of Israel, how God brought them up out of Egypt, from slavery to freedom, the powerful acts, the things that he did on their behalf, the plagues in Egypt, all God's hand. Crossing the Red Sea, parted the waters, walked through on dry ground. The power of God. The power of God. When they got into the wilderness, fed them, watered them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. God's power. The writer is saying God showed his people his power, his works, and the acts that he did for them. And then when they crossed over and came up to Jericho, how he destroyed Jericho, the walls fell down. And many, many other battles that his children fought, that he went before them and allowed them into the country, allowed them into the land. God showed his people, and he showed the rest of the world his power through his miraculous ways in giving them a land. And in the same manner, as you think about yourself today, God's power, God's work in your heart and in your life, maybe in your family's life, the things that you've experienced, the things that he has walked you through, bringing you to the places and the point that you are today, it's God's power. It's God's might. It's God's wisdom. It's all God in all of that. Verse 7 and verse 8. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. All the works of his hands toward the children of men. Again, everything that he does are verity and justice. They are truth. Everything that God does is truth. It's truth. And the works that he does establish and confirm truth. Truth in any case can be determined or can be found out by what God says or what God does. If you want to know what truth is in a situation or truth about something, look at God's word or look at how God has acted, and you'll find truth. Because what God says is always truth, and what God does is always truth. All he says, all he does, all he defends, all he protects is truth. And it is reliable, it is trustworthy, it is true, all of his acts. And they will stand forever. His truth will stand forever. Friends, and especially young people, what that is absolute truth. There is absolute truth. If God said it, God did it, it is absolute truth. And don't let anybody ever tell you there is no such thing as absolute truth. Because if God says it in his word, it is absolute truth. And if God has acted in that way, done that thing, he has shown us what truth is. And it's absolute. It's absolute. Verse 9. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Sent redemption to his people. Again, a reference back to Egypt a bit. Delivered them, redeemed them from Egypt, from slavery, but also for everyone today beyond that, after Christ himself. Redeemed us, delivered us from sin, from selfishness, through the redemption of Jesus Christ by his blood on the cross. And this covenant stands forever. He's appointed it. He has ordained it. Sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Holy and awesome is his name. Awesome, some of your translations may say reverent, or to be revered is his name. The name of God. God is holy. And he is one to be held in reverence and held in awe. To be held in reverence and held in awe. To worship him in reverence and in awe for who he is. And verse 10 explains that a bit more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. A reverence for God, a holy fear of God, to respect him, to respect his word, to have that understanding, that is the foundation, that is the beginning of true wisdom. That's the beginning of true wisdom. To have a good understanding, to understand that the wisdom, the prudence, to have sense, to have knowledge, to have success, all of these things, we're not going to experience them without the fear of the Lord, without having a holy reverence and awe for him. They're the foundation of those things in our hearts and in our lives. And then it says, his praise endures forever. At the end of this psalm, at the end of this song. So again, imagine this as a song that was written when the people would gather together. They would sing this. They would sing this. And it would be a reminder to them of God's works and the things that God had done for them and was doing for them. And maybe as they went about their activities throughout the day, you ever get a little song stuck in your head and you can't get it out of your head? Well, this would be a good one to get stuck in your head. And just keep singing it. Just let it keep going around and around and around. Well, what the writer is saying at the end here is his praise endures forever. His praise, the worship of him, the praise of him for who he is and what he's done will last for all eternity. It will last for all eternity. You see, ever since creation, ever since the moment God created, there have been beings who have worshiped and praised him. Ever since the beginning. And that will never end. It will never end. There will always be created beings worshiping and praising God for who he is and for what he's done. God will always receive praise and worship. So it will be literally true that his praise will endure forever. God will be worshiped and praised forever. From that moment of creation, from that moment things came into existence, from the moment he created beings who could worship and praise him, there were always some who worshiped and praised him, and there always will be. His praise and his worship will never end. It will never end. Will you be part of that group that worships forever? We have an opportunity to be a part of that by asking Jesus to be Savior and Lord of our life, to worship and praise him, to receive him. And part of that idea, you know, we think about worshiping and praising him for all eternity and how great and how wonderful and how fantastic that will be, and it's going to be, but we can do that right now. And God wants us to do that right now. God wants us to encourage each other, to share with each other the things that God has done in our hearts and in our lives, the works that he has done for his honor and for his glory, and to praise him for that. I want to thank those who shared this morning along those lines as well. I'm going to ask the ushers, we've got about 5 or 10 minutes here, if they have the portable mics, if they want to get ready with that. I'm going to ask them just to be around with the portable mics. And if you have something you would like to share, just something God has done, a work in your heart, a work in your life, something that he has brought about that's only God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share that here in just a couple minutes. And we're going to sing and we're going to practice this song this morning. We're going to talk about the wonderful works of God. And so I'll begin this morning, and I just want to share with you that I too am very thankful for you as a congregation. Your love, your support, your encouragement, it is just, at times it overwhelms us, and I really appreciate that. One of the things that I've come to realize in this role, and there are other roles, some of you have jobs, other occupations that are like that, That is, in a sense, that you're on call 24/7, and that's fine. You know, that's just part of it. So there are times that you make plans, you make things, and then something comes up, and you have to cancel those plans, and that's okay. You know, that you just do that. Well, our daughter was due for our second grandchild here back in September, and kind of wanted at least Julie to be down there for when that happened. And you know how that works. There's a due date, but they don't always come when they're supposed to be due, kind of a deal. So I thought, well, that might work. That's possible. At least she can be down there, spend some time with them. Well, as the Lord worked it all out, we both were able to be down there for several days before our granddaughter was born, several days after she was born. We came home for a weekend. I preached on Sunday. We went back down for, I think, almost another week. The schedule just opened up so that we could do that, and that's God. That's all God. I couldn't have made that happen. Only had to cancel one or two little things that we rearranged some other way, but like that never happens. That just doesn't happen. And then here recently, Julie and I, along with, you know, were able to go to North Carolina, spend a couple days at the Cove at the Billy Graham Training Center. Again, we had planned to do that last year. We were going to go down for a weekend at a pastor's retreat. That was the weekend that the hurricane came in down there. So we're thankful that we weren't on our way, and even more thankful we weren't there when it happened. But we made plans to go again this year, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is nice, but it's probably not going to happen, you know. But it did. God made it all work out. And so, again, that's only God. God works those things out in our hearts and our lives. And I'm grateful for him for those things. So, okay, the ushers have the microphones. If you just have something you'd like